and welcome to our latest episode of West Coast XC. In this episode, we plan to, with the help of Keenan Gray of Dicestat, we plan to recap the Husky Classic that happened up at the University of Washington this weekend. An incredible meet with so many outstanding performances. So we'll get into that in a few minutes. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you wouldn't mind pressing that button and subscribing, that really helps. If you're listening or want to, if you're on YouTube and you're like, hey, I want to listen to this on a podcast, we have this on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify, and there you follow. That'd be wonderful. It was a two-day meet, the Husky Classic. I was there. I didn't make it on time for the DMR, which was a very exciting race. We actually watched on our phone in the parking lot in Olympia, Washington, on our way up. We had a lot of snow in Portland, and it was still really snowy in the morning, and we just couldn't make it out of our neighborhood to make it on time for the DMR. But we did make it on time for all the other races, the 3,000, 5,000, and then we were there on Saturday. I'm telling you this because you can, if you were at the meet or if you're interested, you can download photos from all those races on our website, westcoastxe.com. Also, if you just go on Instagram, in our bio, it has a list of all the different races. There were a lot of photos. My wife went with me too, and she was the second camera. And if you ran the meet and want to, you know, you have lots of choices. We try our best to, you know, sometimes athletes are in the inside lane and the inside of the first lane. I can't get a photo of them, but my wife might get them on the other side of the track. And so hopefully we were successful in doing that. So we have lots of photos because we have two cameras on the track. And so enjoy those. When we want to right now, head over to Keenan over at Dicestat and hear more about the Husky Classic. We're happy to have Keenan Gray of Dicestat here to talk about the Husky Classic. We were both at the meet. It was super exciting. And I was kind of looking through.
Probably one of the best meets that I've been at the Dempsey Indoor Facility ever. Like it was incredible.
It was incredible because you not only have athletes trying to make it to NCAAs, but you have high school athletes making some incredible times also. All-time great times. It was amazing. So you had, and also we'll talk about this too as we get going. You know, it's the breaking 4 minutes, and it could happen in heat 7 or heat 8. It's and people are doing it for the first time. It was really fun to be there. And we're getting close to the end of indoor season. There's just a couple more weekends left for the athletes to make the qualifying mark, and people are so fast now. Like I was watching those races going, wow, those are great times. And you look it up and they're like either 12th or 15th, and they've got to figure out how to get in the top 12 in the next 2 weeks.
It's insane because I was kind of doing a comparing and contrasting, you know, obviously before this week and what happened over at BU's track with all those women running so insanely fast mile times. I looked at what 2015 had in the top 16 for women's miles versus what 2025 had, of course. And I want to say like the sixth best time belonged to Nikki Hiltz, which of course is an Olympic finalist in the 1500. Right. And they ran 4:37, which ranked sixth or seventh in the NCAA in 2015. In order to even be in the top 16 this year, you have to run 4:28.77 or faster to make that championship field.
And so when I was looking at the preview of the meet, I kind of felt like the highlight of the meet could be the women's DMR. And it was a highlight for sure, but I didn't realize there were more things coming afterwards. It was incredible.
No, there totally was. And going into that race, I had an idea, you know, I mean, when you look at the field, I mean, it was BYU, Stanford, Northern Arizona, Washington, Utah, and then you throw New Mexico in the mix. And unfortunately, Portland was a late scratch. So it would have been nice to kind of see what they were able to do. But I mean, I kid you not, Ken, I was not, you know, expecting five teams under the collegiate record. Now I know it's because it's an oversized track. They're calling it all conditions best is the right term for it. But I mean, you talk about seeing five of the fastest DMRs of all time in collegiate history in one setting. I mean, you don't get those opportunities very often to see that, let alone an NCAA indoor championship.
In New Mexico, that was sixth, also broke the meet record too. So it was like, that was impressive too. And then
Yeah,
on
no,
the,
I mean it helps when you got Pamela Kosgei as well as your anchor and a runner-up, I believe, at the NCAA Cross Country Championships. So I'm kind of excited to see what New Mexico does in the future. But I mean, what Coach Taylor's got going on at BYU, which Coach Clark's got going on at Stanford, Coach Smith in his final year at Stanford or at NAU, Coach Powell at Washington, and then Coach Kepler at Utah. I mean, it was just a lights out performance. And you can see it from every single person that ran in that race. You can see, like, despite they got like third, fourth, or second, fifth, they were so happy because they realized, guys, we're going to NCAAs. Of course, fingers crossed, and nothing drastically changes this coming weekend with a couple more DM races. But I mean, you can just see, despite winning or losing, like how happy those women were.
Now, on the men's side, Washington set a meet record. Washington men set a meet record and a Dempsey indoor record and are currently number one in the DMR. California's number two, Stanford's number three. There's still more weekends to go.
And let alone they set a world best. They ran faster than the Brooks Bees team that did it outdoor at Oregon Relays last year. They ran faster than that group did for an all-time best.
It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean that lineup of Ronan McMahon Staggs, Bodie, I'm blanking on his last name right now, Kyle Reinheimer, and then Nathan Green on the anchor. Nathan, I believe, talking with Andy Powell, I think he anchored like 350 for the 1600, which is kind of like a walk in the park for Nathan Green if we're talking about that. But I mean, that was just the most complete lineup that they could have had. And the crazy thing is, there were so many other guys they could have chose from. There was Justin O'Toole they could have thrown into the mix. Heck, they could have thrown in potentially, like Nathan Neal or some other guys. I mean, they had the coolest thing I found about, after that race, just talking with Nathan Green, as he said that it wasn't just us four that got this record. It was us nine because they had another team out there helping with pacing duties. And then they had a guy in Reese Hammond, I believe, who was, I think he just did the 1200 leg. So in total, there were nine Huskies out on the track that in some way or fashion helped the A team run a world best.
So then after that was over, a couple of hours later, the 3000 was up. And the women's 3000 was not the invite 3000. That was until Saturday. But still, the first three finishers, that's Haley Burns, Ava Mitchell, Nikita Moore, all from Northern Arizona. 901, 901, 902. It shows their depth and in the 3000. But then we also want to make a notice of a few high school athletes, Victoria Rodriguez, Cassie Armstrong, Emily Wisniewski, all ran really high quality times. We're talking what we're in February.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Victoria and Cassie are very familiar with each other. They run in the same conference in the state of Washington for high school. So I'm excited to see what they are able to do, as 3A competitors. And down the road, we'll see them at Mount Tahoma High School for those state championships. But I was really impressed with Cassidy. She's taken off, especially what we saw this last fall. I mean, just the jump that she made from just in 2024 to or 2023 to this year, it has truly been amazing. I don't know what she's been doing as far as workouts, or what her coach has been helping her out with, but I mean it's truly amazing. And I think she told me it was like a 40 second PR or something like that that she ran in that 3K. So that, I mean, again, you're PRing by that much, your fitness is through the roof, you are training better, you're running better. So I'm curious, is she someone that could, maybe potentially break 10 in the 32 or 2 mile this outdoor season? Who knows? I mean, that only time will tell. And yeah, Emily Wisniewski, a solid opener for her. I know cross country is a little bit more her thing, but I'm kind of excited to see how she caps off her very, very impressive high school career in the state of Oregon. So many state championships she's won.
And then we had the men's 3000, super exciting. You had Haptum Samuel of New Mexico and Nico Young battling it out. Actually, there was about five or six athletes making the turn to the finish. They had a shot of winning it. You had, Colin Solomon was in the mix. You had also Matt Strangio, Ishmael Kipkuri. I mean, there were so many people. It could have been anybody's race. That was a
Really could
pretty
have been.
exciting
And
invitational.
it was a great race, but at the end of the day, they were, and I was talking with some of the athletes afterwards, they were not necessarily particularly happy about what the outcome was, because the first mile they went out 4:07, which was not the prescribed pace that they were hoping to get. It was 4:04, so they fell 3 seconds off. So about a kilometer to go is when they really started to pick things up. And that's why we saw six, seven guys when they made that turn into the home straightaway. It was almost five, six across. And that's why it was such a close finish, because it was more of a tactically sound race rather than we're going to go for it and see who's the strongest and can hang on. But at the end of the day, it's easier when Haptim Samuel has two shoes on and he can get the win. I'm like, when he had one shoe at the NCAA Cross Country Championships. And I asked him about that afterwards, and he's like, foot's all good and everything's fine, the stitches are out. I'm like, good. So you can win races when you have both your shoes on. But I was really impressed with Nico Young, though. First time racing since August in that Olympic 10,000 final. Like, that's he told me that was probably the longest time he's ever gone without racing, which is about, I'd say August was 6 months ago. So I mean, that's a long, long time ago for him to kind of just sit out for a while and just, kind of plan ahead what 2025 looked like. But and then of course, we'll talk about the mile here, but really, really good double that he had in the mile a day later.
Matt Strangio has the 11th fastest time in the 3000s. So it kind of tells you that the time wasn't quite fast enough for all those guys. They want to get their mark in. If they're in fifth place, they can kind of relax and do other events and or just kind of get ready for NCAA. So it kind of puts a little pressure on a lot of those athletes to do another one.
And kind of to that point, Ken, I mean, you're sitting at 11th. And as I said, the top 16 make the NCAA championships. 11th, you're kind of like, all right, I'm feeling okay, but I don't know if I'm feeling comfortable quite yet, especially knowing that you got one more, actually, not even that, you got 2 more weeks left of championship type races, of course, indoor conference meets. And then luckily enough, Strangio is running in Spokane this weekend at the MPSF Indoor Championship. So that's an opportunity to kind of lower that time down if he chooses to do so. But I mean, you're kind of, if you're sitting in that, 10 to 16 range, you're a little nervous, because especially now in this day and age, how quickly everything changes with those times, especially in the mile race on the women's side. We saw it a lot this last weekend. But if he's able to, get down to the 38, 37 this weekend, if he chooses to go all out for it, that will help him out tremendously down the road.
We're going to fault AI on this one. I Googled what is the qualifying mark for indoors, and it said it was 12th, and it's 16th the outdoor qualifier. I thought it was 16 too. I interviewed Doug Binder last week and saying, hey,
No,
16 athletes make it.
it is 16. It is 16 for indoor, and it's 12 from each region for outdoors. So that's 24 total for the
Okay.
outdoor scene. So you'll take 12 from the West region, then 12 from the East region, then of course 24 all meet in Eugene at Hayward.
Okay, so I'm going to blame AI on that one. Okay.
That's
A
good. AI
AI's fault.
finally failed us for the first time.
But you know what? The good thing is, because I was looking at some of these athletes, they're 17th and 18th on the list, and there's still a couple more weeks to go. But you also have athletes that decide, I'm not going to double at the NCAA, so I'm going to drop this race. I like this event, but I like this other event more, whatever reason. So that also kind of helps a little bit with some of the seeding in these races too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, a lot of these athletes are Parker Valley and Hap and Grand Blanks, where they can double back in back-to-back days, because really that's the NCAA championships. It's a Friday Saturday type of deal. So I mean, that's a very, very quick turnaround, and some of those athletes may not be able to handle racing an intense champion, because those championship races are emotional. Like, that's a lot draining. Now, I'm not saying I've ever been a part of that, but I can only imagine just how much toll that takes on the body and the mind.
Yeah, and I watched that too the next day. Some of the athletes in the mile struggled a little bit after running that 3000, even though it was not particularly the fastest 3000, but the last maybe two laps were pretty darn fast and it took a lot out of them. All right, so now we're going to talk about some other athletes in the 3000, high school athletes. And we had the Crater kids, Tavon Kitchen and Josiah Tossenson, they were in a heat. They almost won their heat, first of all. I mean, they're like, they're on the backstretch, and like they could win a heat against all these college athletes that's in a later heat. We're talking heat 7 or 8. It's pretty far in there. That was pretty incredible. And they both break 8 minutes, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about a full circle moment, kind of like we saw with Josh Hoey and Cooper Luchtenhaus. Tavon Kitchen ran faster than Nico Young ever did in high school and, quote unquote, set the high school national record. Again, oversized track, so you have to be careful how you kind of word those things. But, and it, yeah. But 7:55.48. And then you got Josiah Tostenson running 7:57.42, which in high school history, there have only been two schools that have produced sub-8-minute 3,000-meter performers. One of those was Newberry Park with Lex and his older brother Nico, and now Crater with both Taven and Josiah.
Pretty good company, but we also need to add that Lex and Nico did it at separate years, and these two guys did it in the same race, the same time too. And it makes you kind of like do the what if, Keenan, like, gosh, if Josiah hadn't gotten sick at the end of cross country season. You know, at NXN, if you have two individuals that can score single digits in a team scoring in NXN, that sure helps your chances.
Well, if Josiah's healthy, does Crater make it to NXN? Because that's the big key right there is if Josiah Tostenson does not finish 146th at NXN, Crater is potentially a trophy team at NXN.
Right. I mean, because the way that scores, it's like, let's say they go 5 and 8. And then their next kid runs 72. That's still pretty good. I mean, that, you know, it's only three kids you have to score. And so it's a shame that happened to poor Josiah. Looks like though he's recovered nicely. Yeah. Malachi Schoner of Sheldon also ran with the big boys. 8:26 is a nice, that's a really good time for a high school kid.
And unfortunately is overshadowed by those two. At the end of the day. I mean, but as you said, that's a respectful time. That's a time that's floating around, you know, sub 9:10 for a true 2 mile, which
in February,
you know, in this day and age of high school running, like that's the goal now is to break 9 minutes, try to get as many guys under 9 minutes as possible for whether it's a 32 or a 2 mile.
And in the women's 5,000, you had Jenna Hutchins and Sophia Dudek of Stanford having this battle with the other runners being a little bit farther behind. And Jenna comes through. She has the 19th time. That's a hard thing. Like, how do you do another 5,000 in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, but to your point, Ken, like, I mean, some people may be dropping out of those.
True.
They might not be doubling. So I think, you know, talking with Coach Taylor, I think she's pretty confident that, you know, Jenna could be finding herself in Virginia Beach here in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, it was a good time. It'll be hard to, you know, kind of replicate that in Lubbock when they go to the Big 12 championship since they're kind of at elevation, even though it's not as much as they would have in Provo, but Lubbock is up there where you do feel it enough.
Yeah, I was looking at the top times, and I was noticing that people that ran at Texas Tech have these little asterisks next to it. And I go, really? That's elevation. Interesting. I didn't know that. And you're right. The 3 and 5 double is really difficult. So you might see some people drop the 5, and she might sneak in there. In the men's 5,000, you had some pretty good times there. You know, you had Evans, how do you say his last name? Do you know?
Evans Karuri from Washington State.
Yeah. And, he set the meet record and he's currently 10th in NCAA. And then you have Thomas Boyden and Shadrick Kiptu that are also lurking at 17 and 19. Again, could benefit from the people not doubling.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Evans Karuri, oddly enough, this was Washington State's longest school record that had not been broken in 49 years. And no, it was not set by like Henry Rono I'm not going to say Renard Lagat because he's not that old. But it was one of the oldest school records that Washington State had, and he broke it by nearly 17 seconds. So very, very talented freshman. Is in a good spot right now. I don't, you know, I know BU's got an elite 5,000 here this coming weekend, but I don't see somebody, you know, breaking that type of time and then just bumping him out of there. So I think Karui's in a pretty good position to make NCAAs.
And then you had some high school athletes makes some noise there too with Aiden LaRue and Zephyr Corsell. Aiden LaRue from Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado and Zephyr Corsell from Franklin.
Yeah, those are really good times. I was having a conversation with Doug Bender the other day about Zephyr Corsell from Franklin, and that was like the first thing that really caught his eye. I was like, whoa, Zafir just ran 14:22 for a 5K. It's interesting because, you know, you watch some of these kids when they first enter high school and you kind of get a sense of what they're about as athletes. And you're like, yeah, maybe this guy will accomplish this by the time he's when he's a senior. But then you have kids, you know, that kind of just like, you know, it's kind of a eye opening experience when you're like, oh, wow, you took a bigger leap than I thought you were going to. Mm-hmm. And I think for Zafir, that was a moment right there. He ran 14:22.68. And then, you know, Aiden LaRue, I believe, was a NXN finalist.
Yep.
I think he was a solid guy in the state of Colorado. I mean, 14:15. And we're in February. I would not be surprised if he broke 14 during outdoor season on a normal track.
Right. So then we go home for a bit, come back on Saturday, more exciting races. The women's mile, we had Maggie Congdon of NAU run a really close race with Anna Camp of Adidas. And Maggie puts herself at 11th in the NCAA. And she made it to the USA Olympic Trials, U.S. Mm-hmm. Olympic Trials last year, made it to the finals. So that's not a big surprise. So she got herself a...
No, honestly, Ken, like her story was so cool last year, just having, you know, just having a chat with her, you know, whether it was at NCAAs or the Olympic Trials. So she qualifies for her first ever NCAA outdoor championships, both in the 4x4 and in the 1500. Of course, makes her first NCAA final and becomes an All-American all along the way. Then she goes to her first Olympic Trials ever and makes the Olympic final or the Olympic Trials final. So really it was kind of like just a magical last couple of weeks for Maggie Congdon. And, you know, it's the Mike Smith effect, if you will, like how good of a coach Mike Smith is. But going back to this women's mile, I mean, it was a hard act to follow after what those ladies probably saw in Boston just, you know, a couple hours beforehand. Right. With, you know, four of the top 10 all-time performances were ran in that BU Valentine Invitational, of course, highlighted by Shalon Ayildiz from Oregon, who ran the collegiate record in 4:23. So just talking with Maggie and her teammate Alex Carlson afterwards, I was like, so you guys see that race at BU? And they're like, yep. And I'm like, did that change your mind or anything, or change your mentality going to the race? They're like, yeah, we felt like we needed to go out there and hammer it. I'm like, yep, that was probably the right approach.
Yeah, you mentioned Alex Carlson. She ran 4:29.14, but she has a slightly better time that she's run at her home track, I think, in elevation. Mm-hmm. So she's in the hunt to go to NCAAs. And then Amy Bunnage of Stanford runs 4:29.09. That puts her 18th. So she has an opportunity to, you know, that's something you could do a mile again. You could do that next weekend or the
But she's a 3K, 5K runner. I think Coach Clark put her in a position to, you know, kind of just test her foot speed and see how what her closing kick could be. But I was impressed with her ability to bounce back from a really tough DMR finish the day before, right? Because, you know, she had about a 40 meter lead on the rest of the field and then got basically hunted down by, you know, Riley Chamberlain and on that last lap. And when you've had a lead for that long for the entire leg and you're coming up onto the last 300 meters and you lose it within, I don't know, 200 meters to go, that doesn't do well for you mentally. So I was impressed that she was able to bounce back from that and, you know, run 4:29.09, which, funny enough, is a Stanford record too. So all sorts of records set this week.
All kinds of records broken. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's pretty fun. You know, I follow a lot of colleges' Instagram accounts, and then I'm like seeing that night that all these different athletes broke their school records. It was pretty, pretty darn cool. We had a couple of high school girls running the mile too. Chloe Heiler of Lake Ridge runs 4:44.70. And Alexa Matora of Lake Washington runs 4:51.60. That's pretty darn good. That's way under 5 minutes. That's like in the old days, Keenan, breaking 5 minutes for a high school girl in the mile was like the greatest thing you can do. And they're way under 5 minutes. So that's pretty, pretty good.
Yeah. I'm talking with Chloe. She said she was coming off some sickness. I feel like a lot of people were having to deal with some sickness, you know, the last couple of weeks or the start of this year, but you know, she's been consistent with around the 4:44 range, but she's really hoping, you know, at the end of this indoor season, she can dip under 4:40 and head into the outdoor season with a little bit more momentum. But She'll be fine coming this outdoor season, even if she doesn't break 4:40. As far as Lexa Matorik, though, who's someone that runs the 800, I mean, you're running 4:51 in February. I mean, that tells me that you can get down to the 4:45s by the end of this outdoor season. And who knows, maybe for her in the 800, can she, I don't know, 206, 207 in that range.
And then the men's mile, you had Nico Young. He lost in the 3000 the day before. I guess you could say he bounces back and wins the mile in a meet record of 3:59.8. Jude Thomas of Melbourne Track finishes second. They took one of my photos and reposted it and said on this photo that it's seventh all time in Australia, which I'm assuming is indoor, which is awesome. Wouldn't have not known that. And then Aidan McCarthy was fifth. I want to mention him because that puts him 10th at the NCAAs at 3:52.83. And I've had talked to a lot of people saying, boy, if you don't run under 355, you're not making it to the
Let
NCAA
alone you're, if
championships.
you don't run under 3:53 or 3:54, you're not gonna make the NCAA field. And for him going into that race, that was prop of all the guys that needed to run the best race of their life. That was the guy that needed to do it, because coming in, he ran I think a personal best of like 3:56, which at the time was their school record at Cal Poly, and he completely shatters that and puts himself in a really, really good position to head to Virginia Beach here in a couple weeks. So I think if any of those guys in that mile race, and at least in that invitational section that was like the star of that race, or the breakout star, it was Aidan McCarthy.
And then we need to mention the high school runners. Now, I coached for a long time. We would go to the Oregon Relays. Our kids would run this killer 3000, run really great times. We'd go to bed at the hotel, wake up the next day, try to run the 1500. And it's so hard. It's a hard double. In Oregon, that's what you do. You run the 3000 on Friday, and Saturday, you run the 1500. So it's, you have to get used to it. But still, I just think that's super difficult. And Josiah Tostenson and Tavon Kitchen come back and run really respectable times. I'm sure they wanted to break 4 minutes, but that was a really tough 3000. But then we really
Those
also need to
were
talk about Owen Powell too.
well, we'll get to him, and especially being a Washingtonian myself, and how big of a deal that was for what Owen did. But to go back to Josiah and Taven, like that, and I talked with Taven's dad after the race. After they got done with those mile races, and I told him, I was like, that was, I mean, that took guts to do what they did less than 24 hours off of what they had accomplished the night before, especially, putting together two of the best performances ever in the high school ranks in the 3000, and then you come back and you run 4:02, 4:05. And I had heard that, potentially how the 3000 was going to go, that they were not going to double back. Knowing Loftus, that's not the case, because he likes to get those guys he likes to work those guys. I
You're
think
talking
he,
about
I
Justin
think,
Loftus, the coach of Crater.
yeah. I think, when an opportunity presents itself, just like if the guys feel good the next morning, he's like, hey, how are you feeling? Yeah, we're good. All right, let's go run the mile. And they did, and it was really good. It was a valiant effort to try to go for sub 4. If they had gone sub 4, I don't know if it would have been one of the best 24 hours ever in high school history. I do remember when Nathan Green, I want to say he ran, I think he ran two back-to-back days where he ran 4 flat when he was in high school, or I think it was like Brooks PR, the Nike Outdoor Nationals he went to. So, but I mean, I don't know another kid, let alone two of them, that can do what Josiah and Taven did in that span of time.
And then I think maybe the next heat after Josiah, it was Owen Powell's turn. He was in a great heat. There were a lot of kids, a lot of athletes,
Yes.
sorry, that broke four. And there were a lot of happy athletes, had college athletes had broken it for the very first time, including Owen Powell, who broke it by quite a bit.
So up until this year, have never been a high school kid in the state of Washington that broke 4. Now the overall record was set by a guy that I'm sure you're familiar with, Jerry Lindgren, very, very, very long time ago. You have to go back to 1964 when he ran, I want to say it was 4:01.5. So that record lasted for a solid 61 years. Then a couple of weeks ago at New Balance Indoor Grand Prix, Owen Powell tried to make an attempt at breaking 4, came a little bit short, but still broke Jerry Lindgren's all-time state record. So, Owen, going into this race this last weekend at Husky Classic, was the fastest high school kid ever to run a mile in Washington State history. Then he goes and does this. And not only does he break four, he dismantles 4 minutes and just goes well underneath and runs 3:57. And not only, runs that time, but almost breaks the high school national record too, and almost beat an Olympic finalist in Hobbs Kessler when he was doing his time in the state of Michigan. So, I mean, as I said, like as someone who's from the state of Washington and, has seen this kid run the last 4 years, remembered him as this young freshman at the Oregon Relays when I chatted with him, and just the squeaky voice and the long curly hair. It was an awesome day. It was a day that was, for him, all about him, and rightfully so. And he got to do it not only on his future home track, but like his teammates from Mercer Island were there, his coach was there, his parents got to witness that in person. So, that's a day he's going to remember for a lifetime. Not only just because he broke four, but he got to do it in front of all those people.
Absolutely. And his parents were there. I mean, they're hosting a meet and coaching their Washington athletes and wondering if their son will break 4 minutes. And there's not very many athletes that have done that in the history of high school track. And so he's one of the
No, I think when I counted it up, there's been seven guys in indoor and 25 or 24 total between indoor and outdoor. Of course, Jim Ryan still up to the top of the list.
It's amazing. And then we go to the women's 800. Juliet Whitaker from Stanford, the Olympic finalist in the 800, runs the fastest time in the NCAA, breaks a meet record, 159.44. Laura Pellicoro, which I kind of think maybe the 800 is kind of her event, but she has a really fast mile time. She ends up second at 2:92 and runs the sixth fastest time in NCAA. So Laura's got some either decisions to make or do both or do the both. But Juliet Whitaker had a really great race.
Here's what I will say just about that race. It was very competitive, although the introductions, it was so quiet when Paul Mirka said, and wearing hip seven, the Olympic finalist in the 800, Juliet Whitaker. It was dead silent. We're talking about somebody that ran at the Olympics last year, and no one's like applauding or cheering or whatever. And I asked Juliet after that race, I was like, "What'd you think of that?" And she's like, "It was weird. Like I was like I it's I mean, and that's not an ego thing by any means. It's just like, this is an Olympian we're talking about here, and I don't think really a lot of people, maybe they weren't paying attention or whatsoever, like really understood like the significance of that. But that's another side story, and I don't have to rant on about that. But still, ran a really good time, sub two. Not only the fastest time in the NCAA, it's a meet record and also a Stanford record as well. So sets her up pretty well to pretty in a pretty good position to try to defend her title at the NCAA championships. But my goodness, Laura Pellicoro, though, she said that was like a 5 second lifetime best in indoor. I mean, she has just been on a tear this indoor season. Of course, you were there when she ran 4:25 for the full mile, and then of course, two flat here for the 800. Like, I mean, it was like she's on a different trajectory right now. Of course, both school records for Portland, but it would not shock me if she doubled at NCAAs. If she didn't, I would be bummed by that because I think she could be an All-American in both of those events. So we'll see what that decision she makes in the next couple of weeks. I know she's off to Italy this weekend because she's got the Italy Indoor Championships. So best of luck to her and as she tries to punch her ticket to China for those World Indoors.
Amazing. The men's 800. We've had like a Newbury Park weekend, but one of the young brothers broke, twins broke also 4 minutes in the mile, which is pretty incredible. He was pretty excited. I think, was it Lex? I should do my research on that one. But anyway,
Oh, no,
Colin
that's okay.
Salmon of NAU and formerly of Newbury Park wins the 800, 146.40, and puts him seventh. Justin O'Toole's right there, 146.44, puts him eighth. Then farther down the list, you got Kyle Reinheimer, is ninth from a previous meet, really close to his PR. And then Tyler Matthews is 13th with BYU at 146.62. really, I mean, there were like five, six athletes coming right down the line.
Yeah. The first one that really caught my eye in that race was Tyler Matthews. And then if you go back a couple weeks ago when he ran 147 at BU, this is a guy that, his freshman year at BYU had struggled. I don't know what was going on with him during his outdoor season in high school, but just did not run well, did not run close to what he wanted to. I think his like lifetime best in high school was like 147. Didn't even come close to that his senior year. Now you get into the Ed Eystone program and things change. You're at altitude, you're running with better people around you. So, and it's different training strategies. So I was really pleased to see that performance. He's the top freshman of all any freshman American, foreign Americans. Like he's the not foreign Americans, that's not a word. Foreign freshman. He's the top overall freshman in the NCAA this year. So hopefully, again, as I said, you're in that tough spot when you're 10th and 16th in the country, and he's currently sitting 13th right now. So depending on what happens here this next week, I expect him, I would not shock me if he won the Big 12 meet, to be honest. I think he might be the Big 12 favorite to win the 800.
Wow. That's fantastic. And then we finished the meet with a women's 3000 invite from the previous day. The rest of the women ran the 3000. And this one also had like huge implications for NCAA as Lexi Holiday-Lowry of BYU runs 840, 6-0, and just beats her teammate Riley Chamberlain at 1:840, 8:9. That puts them 1 and 2. And then Elise Stearns of NAU, 841, is third. Sophia Kennedy is fifth. Amina Matog of Washington is 11th. So they all put themselves in contention for the NCAAs in the 3000.
Yeah, for both Holiday, Lowry, and Chamberlain, just a couple of weeks ago they had some of the best races of their career. And I think all of this adrenaline is coming off what they did in the cross season when they won an NCAA championship as a group in Madison. So but I think I also the credit goes to Coach Dilgey Taylor for what she does there. I mean, she's essentially having to coach two groups at the same time. She's got a professional group, and she's also got her collegiate athletes as well. So, I mean, if anybody really like, takes on that role where I mean, maybe it's the same. I have no idea, but I feel like, coaching pros is probably completely different than coaching the collegiate athletes. They might be doing the same workout, but it might be at different paces. But also, I think, I mean, these are as pros, that's your full-time job. As
Right.
collegiate athletes, you have to, maintain your academics. You have to, maintain running, maintain your health too, like your mental health, just so you can balance all that in your life. So,
And BYU is one of the really great universities too, academically. So you have to kind of get your stuff done there. So.
exactly. Yeah. So for both those ladies to do what they've been doing this indoor season, Lexi Holiday has broke 15 in the 5K. Riley Chamberlain's sitting in a pretty good position in the miles. She ran 4:26. And then, of course, they go and do this in the 8:40, let alone just after what they did in the DMR the day before. Now,
Right.
Lexi did not run in the DMR, but Riley did. And
Yeah.
Riley had to work a lot the last, I'd say, 600 meters or so in that 1600 to give BYU the win in a collegiate best in the DMR. So really impressed with how she was able to kind of, key off her teammate and then respond back with a really, really good performance, which both those times are way up there on the all conditions list too for all-time performances. And then, Elise Stearns, it's nice to see that she's getting back into form. She struggled in the fall too. And, there was a lot of expectations for that Northern Arizona team that they had aspirations of winning a national championship. Well, because, when one of your best runners has kind of been hit or miss all throughout the fall with injuries, and it kind of just it takes a lot away from what you're trying to accomplish. So for her to do that, she said she's not necessarily, I think she said she's not 100% healthy, but I mean, if she's not 100% healthy, then what is 841 can
Yeah.
what can that look like at fully 100%? I mean, she broke her school record, well, not her own school record, but her teammates, oddly enough, Alex Carlson's record by 12 seconds.
Yeah.
So those mountain schools, man, I tell you, like they are tough as nails, and it helps when you have to train at altitude. But yeah, no, Sophia Kennedy was good. Of course, Dad was pretty good at this thing too
Yes.
back in his day.
Yes.
And then Amina Mattoub, who again another person who kind of dealt with some injuries during the fall season, was really good at Duke, and I figured was and part of the reason why they were so high on Washington this last fall is just because what she was able to accomplish at Duke. Then of course you had Sophie O'Sullivan, who was an Olympian for Ireland as well. But I mean, going back to Mattoub, I mean she just struggled with injuries, but you know, now running 8:46 in that top 16 school record, things are looking pretty good for her. So I'm excited to see what she can do. But I'm excited to see what everybody can do here in the
Right.
next, what, 2 weeks or so. I mean, again, we got some of these conference championships, last chance meets this weekend. You got a whole bunch of conference championship meets this the following weekend. So, you know, it's just all priming us up and ready to go for NCAAs here on March 14th and 15th from Virginia Beach. So, you know, I mean, I wish I was going to NCAAs because there's going to be something incredible that happens regardless. And I know probably they won't maybe necessarily run the times that they're running right now, but it'll be championship style racing. You'll have the best of the best there racing against each other. So regardless, I think history in itself will be made.
I want to thank Keenan Gray of Distaff for joining us and giving us all the great tidbits about the Husky Classic. He was awesome because he was there and he interviewed the athletes and the coaches that were involved in the meet. So that was fantastic. He also wrote a recap of the meet on distaff.com. Head over there to read more insight from all the different races and also from the sprinting events and some of the field events too. And so check that out. Again, please subscribe on YouTube or follow on Apple Podcast or on Spotify of our episodes. Appreciate that. This upcoming weekend in the Pacific Northwest, there is a meet in Spokane. It's the there's like the Mountain Pacific Championships for universities, schools at the podium, and also there's aptly named the West Coast High School Meet up in Spokane. Unfortunately, I'm not able to go to it. I wish I could. We'll have to look forward to reading some of the recaps from on Distaff. I would encourage you to do that. It's probably, and I'll also be able to watch it. You'll be able to watch it on Runner Space Plus if you're interested. But sorry, I won't be able to make that this weekend. My next meet I'm going to go to is the following weekend is the Wildwood. Runners have a mile race with women running at Lincoln High School, and I'll be there to take pictures of that and look forward to that event, and we'll preview that next week on our next episode. Until then, have a great week, and remember, West Coast is the best coast.